Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you on board today as once again we face the issues. It's always our joy and delight to have you to join us, and I pray that you're excited about the broadcast each day, that you look forward to the information and the challenge that is brought to you as we face the issues each day. I pray that you're calling friends, relatives, neighbors, acquaintances, and associates and inviting them to join in 11:30 to 12:30 each day, Monday through Friday, as we face the issues. Let me remind you, as we face the issues, this broadcast is from a biblical perspective. We're looking at the issues based on the authority of the Scripture. Multitudes today will try to discern and ferret out what to do in case of emergency or difficulties. We're finding that on a national level today. As we watch the mass shootings take place, as we watch the hysteria in Washington and the 20-plus socialist Democratic candidates running for president, running around as the hair is on fire, we're watching that where they're going here and yon, as I used to hear my mother call it, going hurry-scurry, trying to figure out what to do. Well, the Bible has the answer, ladies and gentlemen. Even the issues that we're dealing with today with the mass shootings and the escalation of that, we're finding that escalating in these recent years. And I want us to talk about that today, about the cause of it and the condition and what we need to do in response to it. But ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, as we face these issues, we do so not based on denominational dogma. It's not based on rites, rituals, rules, and regulations of some denomination. But our issues are faced based on the authority of Scripture. It's called having a biblical worldview. What does the Bible say? We're going to look at several biblical texts today that I believe gives us some direction and answers as to the cause and effect and the cure for what we're finding with these mass shootings in our nation and what we ought to recognize as being the real problem. And the real issue, the real fundamental foundational issue, is that majority of people today have not turned to the Word of God to seek an answer. The Word of God is the answer. Jesus said to his disciples, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. And then Jesus profoundly, directly addresses what is truth. Jesus said in John 17, thy word is truth. Not a source book, not a psychiatrist or psychologist, not a counselor, though counselors, Christian counselors, are wonderful and should be, but it's saying the word of God is truth. Thy word is truth. So ladies and gentlemen, when you want to find an answer, turn to the book of truth, the word of God. When you're trying to face an issue and you're in a dilemma as to what to do, turn to the book of truth, the word of God. Jesus said, thy word is truth. And it is not a source book where you find a little truth. From Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22, it is truth. And so ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you that we need to turn to the Word of God to find an answer in life. Let me also remind you today, ladies and gentlemen, that this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. It's an outdoor power equipment dealership specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscaping or lawn care business. Tools for Time also carries equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time also carries hurricane preparedness equipment. And the equipment is found at Tools for Time. They have the Honda generators, and they have a knowledgeable staff that will answer your questions in relationship to backup power during hurricane seasons. Tools for Time, located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Tools for Time, found at I-295, the intersection of Old St. Augustine Road. Or you can look them up, toolsfortime.com. That's toolsfortime.com. I'm thankful for their sponsorship for this portion of today's broadcast. Let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, that during the course of this broadcast, you can dial 831-0917, 831-0917, any point, any time. You can jump in the dialogue and discussion by dialing that telephone number, 831-0917. Get your telephone call directly through to the studios and right to our microphones that we can have the dialogue and discussion together. I want to continue briefly in a slight different way as to what we covered on the broadcast yesterday. As you know, we talked in depth about the two shootings, the one at El Paso, Texas, and the one at Dayton, Ohio. And there's still a lot of fluff going on television and on the fake news media. But ladies and gentlemen, you've noticed that the left, that is the Socialist Democrats, continue to point to the president. Now, I'm laughing not because it's funny. I'm laughing because it's laughable. For the Socialist Democrats, all 20-plus of them that's running for president on the Socialist Democratic side, they're pointing the finger at President Trump. And they're saying that these two tragedies, the one in Texas and the one in Ohio, they're pointing to these two tragedies, and they're saying that the real problem, the real thing that caused the murders, that caused the tragic attacks that murdered numerous people, they're saying the real problem is President Trump, that he caused it, that he is the causative factor. We see a real agenda, ladies and gentlemen, on the left lunatic side, as I call it, that is saying that it is President Trump's problem. What really happened is not because of something the president has done, but we see the real agenda of the left, and they're really pointing to an issue, but without an answer. Why are these two shootings happening? They're not pointing to the reality of what's happened. They're not pointing to really what is taking place. They're not interested in discovering the reality of it. They're simply hyper-socialist demagogues trying to point the finger at the president to say, I can do better than he can if I'm in his office, so therefore vote for me. Elizabeth Warren, for example, and Beto O'Rourke are the most vocal and visible and visceral in their remarks, even doing online fundraising off the two tragedies in Texas and Ohio. Here's an article that says, exploiting massacres to raise poll ratings, appalling. El Paso, Texas, and Dayton, Ohio. Following the mass murders on Saturday and Sunday morning, the local folks on camera, police, prosecutors, mayor, FBI, and the city officials were nonpartisan, patient, polite, and dignified in their unity and solemnity of their grief for their dead and wounded. But for the Democratic presidential candidates, the El Paso atrocity was like a loose football in a Super Bowl stadium. A mad scramble broke out over who would be the first and the most savage in indicating President Donald Trump for the moral complicity in the mass murders. The article goes further. Never to let a good crisis go to waste is an old political adage. And this crowd of candidates was not going to let that happen. I'm reading from an article entitled Exploiting Massacres to Raise Poll Ratings, Appalling. And it goes on to say, and this crowd of candidates was not going to let this happen, that is, to waste a situation, a crisis. Yet the naked political exploitation of these horrific acts before the bodies of many had been removed from the crime scene was appalling to the listener, the watcher, to behold. Railed Beto, Trump is a racist, and he stokes the racism in this country, and it leads to violence. We have a president with white nationalist views in the United States today, end quote. He went on and called Trump's language about Mexican immigrants reminiscent of something you might hear in the Third Reich. This is from Beto O'Rourke. Asked on Sunday CNN Jake Tapper if he believed that the president was a white nationalist, Beto eagerly assented, yes, I do. Then Bernie Sanders was asked by Tapper if he agreed with Beto's reply. Bernie Sanders says, "I do. It gives me no pleasure to say this. All of the evidence of our out there suggests that we have a president who is a racist, who is a xenophobic, who appeals and is trying to appeal to white nationalism." On the same CNN show, Senator Cory Booker outdid Beto, this article says. He says, "I want to say with more moral clarity than Donald Trump is responsible for this, the mass murders in El Paso, because he is stoking fear and hatred and bigotry." Then Elizabeth Warren did not want to be outdone in the race for the White House. Elizabeth Warren issued a statement. "We need to call out white nationalism for what it is. It is domestic terrorism. It is a threat to the United States, and we've seen its devastating toll this weekend. And we need to call out the president himself for advocating racism and white supremacy." Now, here's the footnote part of the article, but I call it a footnote. Ironically, the Times, Washington Times reporter reports that the Daytona shooter, who killed his sister and eight others, quote, described himself as a social media, on social media, as a pro-Satan leftist who wanted Joe Biden's generation to die off, hated Donald Trump, and hoped to vote for Senator Elizabeth Warren for president, end quote. Isn't that ironic? This is what he said. "I want socialism, and I'll not wait for the idiots to finally come around to that understanding," the killer reported on his tweet account. Not to be left behind, Senator Kamala Harris said of the president after the slaughter, "He's a racist. There's no question in my mind about that." Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know of anything that I could say that would top that rhetoric and that deplorable response to the two tragedies that took place in our nation in the past several days. Here's an article, by the way, that says this: typical mass shooter, a white male. Think again, the article says. The attacks in El Paso, Texas, and Dayton, Ohio, were over the weekend, have taken at least 31 lives, have put a spotlight on the problem of young, isolated white men carrying out mass shootings. But a list of people arrested are charged in 255 mass shootings recorded this year, defined as four or more people shot or killed, shows the problem is not confined to white men or motivations of white supremacy. Listen carefully, ladies and gentlemen. If that's a thread, it's young men whose biological fathers are missing in their lives. Now, I'll cover this further in the broadcast today. This is one of the key elements, ladies and gentlemen. The key elements. In fact, I have a note here from a listener says, of the 27 deadliest mass shooters, 26 of them were fatherless, out of fatherless homes. This article further says, if there's a thread, it's young men whose biological fathers was missing in their lives. After the Parkland school massacre in Florida, the Heritage Foundation cited a study showing that the 25 most cited school shooters in since Columbine, 75% were reared in broken homes. Most, according to psychologist Peter Langman, an expert on school shooters, came from homes that also experienced infidelity, substance abuse. That's critical, because I'll talk about that in this broadcast. Substance abuse, if you want to put it in the vernacular, it's pot use, marijuana use, criminal behavior, domestic violence, and child abuse, end quote. More than 520 people have died in mass shootings this year, according to the Gun Violence Archives, and at least 2,000 have been injured. The Gateway Pundit noted that more than 140 mass shootings this year remain unsolved, largely because no one will give description to the police. At least 20 of the mass shootings this year were in Chicago. Hear that, ladies and gentlemen? Over the weekend, Chicago had 7 people killed and 53 injured in shootings. Ladies and gentlemen, let me add a little footnote to that. You don't hear any scream and cry. There's no hair on fire by the Socialist Democrats about that taking place in Baltimore, Chicago, and Detroit. You don't hear anybody screaming about that and saying, let's fix it. You find shootings 24/7 in those major cities. All of them have been controlled for the past 40, 50, 60 years by the Socialist Democrats that run on trying to get the votes of those folks in those cities, but do nothing about trying to change the direction and the trajectory of those cities. This article says, WorldNet Daily reported earlier Monday, Senator Elizabeth Warren, a leading 2020 presidential candidate, echoed many of her Democratic colleagues in casting blame on the president for the shootings, charging he's been giving a wink and a nod and a smile over white supremacy. This article further says the suspect in Dayton, Ohio, shooting, however, said he was a supporter of Warren and described himself as a socialist. The suspected El Paso shooter, portrayed as a white supremacist on social media and in his manifesto, but he also espoused progressive ideas such as universal and basic income and something about the environment, and we needed to cure the environmentalist problem. Rival candidate Bernie Sanders explicitly tied the shootings to Trump, the language saying the president has to stop the racism and the xenophobic actions and his attitude immediately. Ladies and gentlemen, what I'm trying to get us to understand is that we have a much deeper, broader problem. If you want to give a title to this broadcast today, you can call it No Guidance, No God, But Guns. And that's what we're finding. There are no guidance in the homes and outside of the homes. There are fatherless homes, and there's no God. And we'll talk about that, how God has been expelled from the homes and the families and from the society in general. And yet we find guns and the violence, and all of a sudden we scream, what's wrong? What's taking place? Why is all of this happening? Ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand that the Ohio killer, for example, backed Democrats for president. And this is an article in the manifesto that was left behind in the one in El Paso and then the one in Dayton, Ohio, and what had happened. Senator Elizabeth Warren, a leading 2020 Democratic candidate, echoed many of her colleagues when she cast blame on the president. A closer look at the profiles of the two suspect killers, however, illustrates the folly of finger-pointing and simplistic solutions. The suspected killer in Dayton, Ohio, wrote on his Twitter that he was would happily vote for Elizabeth Warren and was upset about the outcome of the 2016 presidential election. He said, I want socialism, and I'll not wait for the idiots to finally come around to the understanding that, he wrote. Ladies and gentlemen, we're looking at a scenario that's horrific, but it goes much, much deeper than what the fake media and the socialist looney tunes on the left would have us to understand. There's no guidance in the home. There's no God in the homes. There's no church. There's no spirituality. There's no Bible. But there are guns, and this is what we see manifesting itself today. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Yes. Good day, Dr. Youngblood. Thanks for continuing to sound the clarion call. Thank you for what God bless you for what you're doing.
Thank you so much.
Yes, the age, the time we're living in is deception, the age of deception, just as it was at the beginning. Eve listened to the enemy and was deceived with what he was telling her. Exactly what's going on, tell the lies, you manipulate words and tell lies and get people believing it and hide the truth as much as possible. And they are successfully doing that because intelligent people in our community, you know, right now in America, who people should know better, know that you need to listen to both sides. They never, ever listen to, they listen to only one side, the side that they believe in. They are Democrats, and it's a crime to listen to the other side in anywhere at all. So they are totally in blindness. This morning it came to me that exactly what you're on, you know, that what is happening with the whole problem of this mass shooting and the confusion the nation is in because of it happening every day, as it were. And we believe it's all over the land. We're not hearing of what America is going through. We are having it right here at our doorstep. I just as you have been saying, God is dismissed. God is taking out the young minds, the children who have minds ready to grasp whatever you give them. Every effort has been made over the years in the educational system, from very early to clean, to get rid of every trace of faith. There is no God. There's nothing about everything in the Bible. People make it up to fool you up. You have to grow older to learn to know that there's nothing to live for because you live and die. So enjoy anything that you feel like. Live as you like. Enjoy because one day you're going to die and that's it. Live and die like the animals. Nothing behind. There's no God. No God to turn to answer to or to be you're going to have to be required to answer to him. Nothing like that. So our young people, that's why it's what you call it, suicide. We might as well link it to the mass shooting, suicide among the teenagers and young people. So suicide is rampant, yes, and it'll be alarming among the teenagers and so on. If they have no God in their heart, when they come upon the type of problems promiscuous sexuality leads them into, as young as they are, when they come upon different type of problems in any little thing, they throw up their hand in despair. They have nothing to turn to, so suicide. Destroy themselves, and then they go ahead with those who are teaching that whatever going on in that there is paradise to get. The more if you're going to kill yourself or die, the more you take with it is the greater your reward, your paradise.
That's exactly right. I think you have a good handle on what you're faced with is the problem in America today. And yet we blame it on guns. We blame it on the president. We blame say that the president is at fault. And I don't know of any other president in my lifetime that's taken a stand more for America and for the protection of America and for the protection of religious liberties and the freedom of speech and the right to keep and bear arms than the president that we have in office now, President Donald J. Trump. Thank you so much for your call. Thank you for your insight. Thank you for the sweet spirit and for your knowledge of the word and for the recognition of what's taking place, because we have multitudes in America today that do not have the grasp on it, do not have the understanding, and do not have the recognition of the problem as you do on this subject. So thank you so much for that call and for your words of encouragement. Ladies and gentlemen, let me just simply say this. Our caller is exactly right. The major fundamental foundational problem is not a matter of guns. It's not a matter of some terrorist attacks, though that is real. It's a matter of there's no guidance and there's no God in our homes, in our lives, in society in general. In fact, the shooter in Ohio had posted his hatred for President Trump and for his love for Sanders and his love for Elizabeth Warren as presidential candidates. And yet the media is silent about that very fact. Laying aside, ladies and gentlemen, all the facts and all of the fiction that is being bounded about, let's just face the reality of this issue. As we talk about let's face the issues, let me remind you again, ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. You can jump in the dialogue and the discussion at any point by dialing 831-0917, 831-0917. We would love to have your call, your comments, your insight on this. You may agree, you may disagree. You might have a different view on this than we're espousing today. We'd love to have that in this lineup of conversation. But as we face the issues, let us understand, ladies and gentlemen, when we see what the Word of God says, we need to recognize the reality of what is really taking place. We're witnessing the fulfillment of what God has already told us was going to happen in the last days in the Word of God. By the way, just a little footnote before I get into that. The scripture is clear in Jeremiah chapter 23. In fact, if you want to read an interesting, challenging text, Jeremiah 23, 24, and 25, filled with it. This starts off, "Woe be unto the pastures that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore saith the Lord God of Israel, against the pastures that feed my people, yet have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings, saith the Lord." Now, ladies and gentlemen, when you get back to the Old Testament dispensation and you understand that in that culture and in that day and that time, the word pastor is talking about the one that's the shepherd, the leader. And it is inclusive of the spiritual leadership as well as the political leadership, i.e. the politicians of that day. And so, ladies and gentlemen, God is saying, "Woe unto the pastors, the leaders, the political leaders, if you will, that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord." So we're finding that taking place with many of these so-called looney tunes, as I call them, the ones on the left, that are wannabe presidents will say anything in the world to try to get 15 minutes of camera time and try to make it look as though they're all knowledgeable and that President Trump is some kind of nitwit in some fashion. But ladies and gentlemen, when we look at the scripture, especially found, I've used this text many, many times on this broadcast, and at the risk of redundancy, I want to break it down a little more clearly for our understanding today. But in the scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 and following, know this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the powers thereof. From such turn away. Ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what we see taking place today. And we'll look at that verse by verse, word for word in just a moment. We'll take just a brief period of time because it is so clearly depicted as to what to expect. I believe we have a call on the line. Give you the question and the comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, thank you for your broadcast.
Thank you so much for your call.
Do you think these shooters, that they see a full-term baby being laid on a stainless steel table and the doctor has a conversation with the mother, do you want to kill it? Is it a nuisance to you? If it's a nuisance, we'll kill it. Don't you think these shooters, Trump and any other conservative, is a nuisance? So the only difference with the people they're killing is just age. There's nothing wrong with killing them. They're a nuisance.
You're exactly right. In fact, that's one of the things that I'll bring out in the balance of the broadcast today on the last portion of this broadcast is the fact that when we recognize that abortion is rampant and life is not valued, even in the womb, when we recognize that on the videos that these kids are watching, they grow up 6, 8, 10, 12 hours a day watching the videos and some of the horrific murders that's depicted there, when all of on the video they pull the trigger and before them on the screen, then people just fall out dead and they are desensitized from anything that's called life and the value of life. And as a result of that, murder is not on their mind. They're just thinking about a video game and winning that game. And as a result of that, they're shooting people without any sensitivity, without any feelings, without any recognition of the fact that it's destroying a human life, a life that is valuable in the sight of God. You're exactly right.
Yes. It's absurd. But one thing is, Dr. Youngblood, it will get worse. It's not going to get better. It's going to get worse.
Well, the scripture warns us that it'll get worse and worse in the days.
Yes. And they will not turn around. They will not turn to God. They will just get worse.
That's exactly right. All we can do is keep on praying, keep on looking up, and keep on believing and being salt and light. Thank you so much for your call. Delight to have you call in words of encouragement and insight as to the problem. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about the fact of what we see taking place in the world today. And as what we see, the scripture says in that text that I just read in 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 5, lovers of self, that means selfishness, covetous, that's greedy, proud, haughty, arrogant, blasphemers, that is cursing God. Disobedient to parents, that means renegades, unthankful, not having a thankful heart, unholy, that means wickedness and evil against God, without natural affection, that's referring to and speaking of the homosexuality and the sodomite lifestyle today, false accusers, that's slanderous, incontinent, that means no self-control, traitors, that's renegades against God and against country and against man, heady, high-minded, that means reckless and headstrong, high-minded, puffed up and arrogant, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. That literally means that the word of God is insignificant and has no value in their hearts and lives at all. So just what are we to say? Just what are we to do? We'll talk about that right after the news. And just about 1 minute, we'll be back with the balance of the broadcast today. But I want to encourage you to stay tuned. Don't leave. We've got 1 minute of station identification and the news, and we'll be right back to finish today's broadcast.
V. This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.